Andrew Zarian, what in the F is going on right now? By the way, this is We're Live, Pal. Post WrestleMania, post Raw, post WWE being part of Endeavor, merging with the UFC to create a super company of combat sports and whatever sports entertainment. We took the week off last week because there was, you know, some urgent stuff you needed to take care of, and then to come back is almost like, what world did we come back to in professional wrestling?
I know. It's been a wild couple days, right? From the entire week was crazy, if you really think about it, right? The entirety of WrestleMania week is crazy. WrestleMania weekend is nutty. Two back-to-back shows. Cody doesn't win the title. It comes out sometime late Saturday, early Sunday, that WWE selling to Endeavor, or they're merging. And then, honestly, the biggest shocker of the week is Vince McMahon's look. I can't. I told Garrett, I was like, listen, dude, you got to give me like a couple minutes. I can't believe this man looks like that. Right? It's insane. Okay, it's an insane look.
here's the insane thing to me, right? Obviously, there are things that he's done in his personal life that would paint him as a sexual predator, and these payoffs and everything. So he decides that he wants to lean into that look. That's the part that I don't get, because this is not a more professional look for Vince McMahon. This is an odd, crazy man look for someone who is in their mid-70s and who's trying to bounce back from having to step down from his company for those reasons. So that is the alarming thing to me, is just the life choice that he made there.
Yeah, well, you know, a distraction's a distraction, right? And so I'm seeing this as, you know, this is an old school carny move. You want to distract from reality and what's going on, have a ridiculous look, go out in public like that. That's all people are going to talk about. Obviously, that's what it's hysterically comical.
So there is a segment of the internet who is frustrated whenever people talk about the mustache, because their point is very similar to what you just said, which is the more you talk about the mustache, the more you're buying into this distraction. He doesn't want you to talk about all the things that we have talked about, that the Wall Street Journal has written about, the reasons why he stepped away. He wants you to talk about the stupid mustache. So that is the thing. But now I mentioned the word distraction. Do you see what's the new poster in the background of Dave's? John's going to have to do the shot of me again.
Oh, my gosh.
The brand new poster.
Put that up there. You know,
for the podcast listeners, you're going to have to watch the video. You kind of got to watch the video version of this show to get the full presentation of Andrew Zarian, the Andrew Zarian poster in Dave's office here in my back.
First of all, I do want to say that is 100% legitimate of a picture. That is not edited. I don't know why I took that photo, but that is a character that we came up with called Enchanté on Mad Men. And his big move, his big spot is when he only does tag matches. And when you go tag him, he faints.
Oh,
and he faints onto a love seat that's being held by these beefcakes.
It's like a Dalton Castle-ish kind of
It's like a Dalton Castle-ish gimmick. Yeah, I ripped him off there. RJ City's okay with it, though. He told me I could totally do it. It's fine.
There you go. There you go. Classic. Great, great. See, this is why he's... We said we couldn't call him the best producer in the game. What was the word that we decided to use last time? I forget. We already ruined the joke, but fantastic. Okay, so... My train of thought is all over the place, but let's talk about the sale piece of this for a second, and then we can move on to the actual creative of WrestleMania and the Raw after WrestleMania and Cody Rhodes and whatever they want to do with him now. The Endeavor thing to me was always the one that I thought made the most sense because of the UFC piece and because of Endeavor now having this track record of letting the UFC do what they do best. And now they have this live event business that is really carrying their company. So to then bring on the other business that pretty much does the same thing to further carry the Endeavor brand, it made a lot of sense to me. But you kept hearing Ari go on these shows, and every time he was interviewed, just saying, no, you know, it's not in our wheelhouse. They're a great company, but this debt thing. And so they put together this acquisition where there's no cash down, so they don't have to take on this giant amount of debt. And it seems like for all parties involved, like this was a fantastic acquisition for WWE and for Vince McMahon. This dude gets put right where he wanted to be the entire time. And, you know, maybe for the fans, we'll have to wait and see about how that works with if Vince is truly back in creative and heading the whole thing, like supposedly he was last night. But man, what a win-win deal it seems for Endeavor and WWE here.
Yeah. You know, a couple of weeks ago we were doing a show and I didn't think Endeavor was the front runner based on, you know, everything I was seeing on the financial side of things. I did speak to somebody at WWE yesterday morning, early yesterday morning. So it was probably, they were still in LA, probably like, uh-oh, I'm in the Matrix. Do you see this happening? Oh, there we go.
More April, back. More April Fools, I think.
No, that was not an April Fools. I don't know what happened there. John, are you doing it? I spoke to him probably, so it's probably like 7 a.m. Monday morning, L.A. time. And, you know, I was just asking a couple questions, like who else was involved in this? Because early on in this negotiation, I remember Nick Khan was on CNBC and whoever the analyst was essentially told Nick that Comcast was not involved.
Was out. Yeah.
Was out, and it almost was shocking to me because they were really the media conglomerate that would have been a player. So yeah. I brought that up. I was like, hey, listen, I'm like, you know, who was involved in this negotiation? I'm like, you obviously some of the names you're not going to name, especially the private equity groups. But from what was, you know, alluded to me in many ways, and one was said flat out, Liberty Media was a major front runner in this. Liberty Media owns the F1 they own?
Yeah.
Yeah, F1 and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I found that
Atlanta Braves.
Considering Atlanta Braves. Yeah, they have like 40% of the Braves or something like that. Liberty Media was a front runner. And by their indication, and they didn't name names, they said there were many other media conglomerates that were very interested, along with a bunch of private equity groups. I had initially heard that the Qataris were interested in investing in this. Obviously, the Saudis we heard about. I still believe that the Saudis were a front runner until the end. I think until Vince realized he could get $9 billion for this, it was leaning towards a private equity group or maybe Liberty Media. A lot of the other options here has to do with Vince and what they were going to do with him. You know, this is... Vince is essentially more powerful than he was, you know, 6 months ago. He came back to the company. He came back in a very quiet role, and now he's back. And he's the executive. What's his official title here?
He is right underneath Ari, and I think he's just executive chairman. And then underneath him
executive
is Nick.
Chairman, yeah.
And then on the other side is, on the UFC side, it's Mark Shapiro, and then Dana is underneath Mark Shapiro.
So I did ask one interesting thing, and it was said to me in a very corporate way. I said, listen, I'm looking at the structure. Obviously, we know that Nick Khan is in the WWE lane here, right? We know Nick is in WWE. We know that Dana is not going to get involved in the WWE stuff. He's the president of UFC. Is Vince involved on the anything with the UFC side? And the answer was not no, but it wasn't yes. It was more of yes, this new company, the way that the positioning is, he is the chairman of the board, executive chairman of the new company, whatever it's going to be, and that oversees the entire company.
Ticker symbol, TKO, by the way. What'd you think of that ticker symbol?
Yeah. Do you know why it's not KO?
What do you mean?
It's not KO because Coca-Cola owns KO.
Oh,
and Coca-Cola is KO because C belongs to Chrysler.
There you go.
I went down this whole rabbit hole yesterday. But I mean, technically, it was said that, listen, Vince is going to stay in his lane. He's going to be on the WWE side of operations. He's not really involved in the UFC. However, on paper, he can be. Which is very interesting to me.
I thought that's why Shane came back. Because remember when Shane tried to talk Vince
wanted
into buying
the UFC?
Pride?
I know. That poor guy. He got his WrestleMania payday, though.
Shane, man.
It's happening, Shane. Dude. Do you see this? This camera's acting crazy.
It's QTV.
QTV's happening. What do you think of this? Garrett, like, honestly, do you... I think UFC's going to change more than WWE's going to change at this point.
How so?
This is my... No, I have no indication that this is happening. This is only my personal opinion. The prideification of UFC, I see it happening. I see
you
bigger,
think?
Grander
really?
Entrances. Yeah, I see it happening. I think
that,
you know, Ari,
that could be a plus, though, right?
Listen, to me, it's a plus. I was a big Pride fan. To a lot of USC purists, especially Dana White, he didn't want that. He didn't want the spectacle. He wanted to be a big fight. But we're seeing what Showtime Boxing does or DAZN does with certain boxing fights.
Mm-hmm,
we see what Ryzen has done with their mixed martial arts or whatever, you know, hybrid style that they're doing. You know, maybe it is time for WWE to kind of step it up. Wouldn't it be right up UFC's alley to put together a mega show like WWE did with WrestleMania? This was the biggest, the most disconnected pro wrestling show from wrestling that I had ever seen as far as presentation goes. This was not presented as a pro wrestling product. This was presented as, you know, the MTV Movie Awards, the Oscars. It was grander than life. This was a full-fledged entertainment production. Rather than it being a wrestling show. I see UFC seeing that. I see Ari especially seeing that and saying, wow, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing 80,000 person buildings for UFC main events if we can? I think that's going to be the biggest change.
Well, UFC 300 will be probably sometime around this time next year. And that would be a reason to do a giant presentation, like kind of like you said. The one thing about UFC, though, they do like the sports atmosphere, and they have always, not always, but they try to lean away from any idea that there's any pro wrestling predetermined results involved, right? Like, that is one thing that they've consistently done, is like, nope, we need to separate ourselves from that because we don't want people thinking that we do predetermined stuff. But I would enjoy some of this stuff with the UFC where, you know, maybe Conor McGregor's next fight, you know, he does a giant introduction and I guess if you're thinking about the one that I would compare it to, and I don't even know if you know this one, Deontay Wilder, I believe, was the first time he fought Tyson Fury. He came out with this like heavy suit to the live audience, and by the time he got to the ring, he was exhausted because of, you know, the endorphin rush, but also this suit was kind of heavy, so his legs were kind of shot early in the fight from what I remember. And once you kind of take your eye off the ball when it comes to that presentation part of it, then by the time you get in the ring, that could be bad news, or in the cage, yeah, in the UFC sense. So there are things that they can do, though, because if you watch a UFC show, almost every show, no matter if it's in a giant arena or if it's in a big building or if it's in a small building, it generally looks the same. And I think they do that specifically because, you know, they have their way to present fighting and it's done well for them. But if they added a little flair here and there, I would be into it. I think it would help, but as long as it didn't affect the performance of the fighters, because I think that's the key.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to affect the performance of the fighters. I do think that they are probably going to get a little bit more into the show of it all. The other thing I definitely see happen, again, this is only my opinion based on, you know, my experience in this bubble. You know, let's say you're Conor McGregor, right? Or give me somebody else. Masvidal is fighting, right? This weekend?
Yeah, he's fighting this weekend.
You know that he has a pro wrestling interest for sure. Mm-hmm. Let's say he's signing his final couple fight deal with you guys. You know that he maybe has two fights left. But you know what? You could piggyback that with a two-year deal with two appearance deal with WWE and do something high profile there. I see more crossover with that than I do with WWE guys heading over to UFC, obviously, you know, because it takes a lot more. Or Colby Covington. He's another guy that would go there. Conor McGregor, they could figure out something and do some sponsorship deals. You know, Logan Paul had essentially it was a giant infomercial for his energy drink. I mean, Conor could do that with his whiskey or whatever.
You know what's fascinating about Prime is so my stepsons, they know Logan Paul through this drink that he has, and that's all they want to drink for their basketball games. It's all about Prime. They don't give a crap about Gatorade. It's just this Prime drink. And yeah. My buddy, he's got a younger one. I think he's he's much younger than my stepsons who are 13. And when Logan Paul went into the ring against Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, his son said, "Oh, that's the Prime guy." He didn't know him as Logan Paul. He knew him as the sports drink, which is fascinating to me because the branding, like Logan Paul, I'm sure a lot of people don't like him for his previous career as a YouTuber and a shitster and maybe, you know, not so great of a human at points. But the guy is a marketing genius.
Dude,
to, like this, yeah. this drink, and now he's got like energy drinks and stuff that I see at the grocery stores now. Just crazy as far as what he has done to make himself a name. And then he goes out in the ring, and he didn't have the same match that he had with Roman last year, but still a really good match with Seth Rollins. I thought if you wanted to really nitpick, like there were things that you could find in his work that you could nitpick, but ultimately, he gave you what you were looking for in that match. So, yeah, no, you're 100% right. Here's another thing that I would like to see more of. I would like to see crossover stars in the audience. Now, on the UFC side, you bring Conor McGregor in the front row, there better be something going on where he's doing something. But on the flip side, you know, if Roman Reigns or if Cody, they should be in the front row at these UFC fights too, because you're working for the same company. You're you know, the synergy should be there in ways that it's not currently right now, and until they just, you know, combine the two companies.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're going to see a lot of that. Wow, this is crazy. It's possessed me at this point. I got to keep kicking this thing. I don't know what's going on here. There we go.
You know who it is. About that. You know what it is.
It's Bray. Bray. He's here. Let me in, dude. I see that happening for sure. I think we're the closest we've ever gotten to a Dana White and Vince McMahon match. This is it. This is when it happens. You know?
Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm going to try to fix this camera while you talk. Sorry.
All right. So, you know, the we'll put the pin on the company here. I'm very interested what the name of this company is going to be. And I'm very interested in the work that they're going to put into to create the name of this company. Because I remember my original company before, obviously, I work for Nextdoor and I've been there since the beginning. But the previous company that we spun off was a company called Fanbase, and it was very sports oriented. It was about sort of creating like this living almanac for sports. Obviously, didn't last very long. But I remember going through the naming convention piece where you hire someone, they take these words that mean something to people, or that drive a reaction, or that make people inspired, and then they pair it up with another word to create the company name. Like, I can only imagine what Ari and Vince and Dana and Mark Shapiro in their meeting to create this company name. And maybe it's already happened and we're just going to have an unveiling, you know, whenever the deal is finally officially done. But, you know, here, this word means warrior in whatever language. And this other word means trust and faith and honesty, and we're combining them together to create this, you know, this word that everyone is going to remember. It's I would love, more than anything, I would love to be in that room as they're trying to create the name of this company.
I'm very curious. I'm very, very curious what they're going to do moving forward. Listen, this is unprecedented. We don't know. We don't know how this is going to work out. We don't know who's going to benefit the most from this. Vince is back, I guess, fully as of last night. We saw that on TV.
So what did you think of that show? Because it has been panned by more people than I've seen in a long time panning a WWE TV show.
It was whatever. It was Raw. That's how I felt about it. I didn't feel it was, you know,
shouldn't that Raw after Mania, so the rating came out already. They did a 0.76 and 2.2 million. Now some of that is inflated because of that first hour being commercial free, but you just had Saturday, which Dave Meltzer is calling the greatest WrestleMania of all time, and I know a lot of people love that show on
Saturday.
Did you feel that way about it? I thought it was really good, but you know what? I was at the lake with my wife with bad Wi-Fi, so I was like watching it on my phone. I mean, it's not the best experience to watch WrestleMania, but I thought the main event of that show was perfect. Like, it was so perfect, the way that they closed night one. And I wonder, I don't know anything, obviously, I just wonder if they thought they were going to get a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because how great the closing of Saturday night was, knowing that they were going to F the fans on Sunday night and do what they did. I wonder if they thought, you know, we have enough goodwill built up in these last 6 months, and then we're going to give them what they want on Saturday, and then that'll help us get through this reaction on Sunday. But I don't think that happened. I think the people were really, really mad. And then you saw the direction last night of Roman and maybe Brock teaming up together. We're going to get the two-man power trip part two here. And the fans were not happy. You know what? You know the other thing that I'm really worried about? I was worried about Cody winning the belt and eventually the fans getting sick of him. I think they just put the fast forward on that. I think that's coming sooner than later based on what I saw last night. Now, I hope that they
you think people are going to get sick of him early now.
I don't know, man. If you don't know anything about wrestling and you watched last night, Brock Lesnar looked like the one to get behind, not Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. You know, but it wasn't Brock leaving.
Supposedly he did that interview with Daniel Cormier where he's like, I don't know how much longer I have or whatever he said. But Dave Meltzer last night said, no, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I wonder if the Vince staying or Vince coming back played a part.
Well,
in
remember, remember he got pissed when Vince stepped out the first time. Remember?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, right? Like, I'm looking at it this way with Cody. Should he have won it on Sunday? In my opinion, yes. Do I understand why he didn't win and why WWE wants Roman to have that title? Absolutely. I was told this months ago. They really want him to hit that 1,000 days.
Yes.
They really want it. Something over the last couple of years that WWE has attempted many, many times, and they continue to do so, is to update the history books for this company. When you look at the longest reigning champions, it's Pedro Morales, it's Bob Backlund, it's Hulk Hogan, Bruno Sammartino. You know, it's not a updated list. John Cena maybe somewhere on there. But the reality is over the last 30, 40 years, titles change much quicker. And they need to put somebody on that list because when you're looking at it, those are the greatest of all time, right? The longest reigning champion. Those have to be the greatest. You know, what does Bruno Sammartino mean in 2024, 2023? What does Pedro Morales mean? What does Hulk Hogan mean? Not as much as Roman Reigns. And this is part of the game. They're updating the history books, and sometimes they make decisions based on marketing and things like that. It's not for the wrestling. It's not for the fans. It's for their own history. I believe that's one of the factors here. The other thing is Cody was a replacement for Dwayne. Right. I think Dave said that on Observer this morning. It was either going to be Dwayne or Cody, and they ended up with Cody, and Dwayne wasn't winning this title. So if the plan was if the plan originally was Dwayne and Roman was going to win, they stuck to the plan. I don't know how much this is hurting Cody. I know that, you know, the momentum changes when you lose like this, especially at a mega catastrophic loss like this. Will people be able to regain their trust into saying, okay, you know what? Maybe at SummerSlam, will you get behind it? I don't know. We have a long way to go.
My feeling on this, and I tweeted this out right when it happened. I said, Cody just got Lex Luger'd. And what I meant by that was SummerSlam 1993, where they did this whole marketing campaign behind Lex, and then Vince changed his mind and had Lex win by countout, didn't win the title, celebrated like a goofball. That part isn't exactly like it. But my thought was, you know, you set Cody up, and Cody is maybe doing the most vulnerable promos that I have seen a babyface do in WWE before. There was an element of, you know, an AEW like not rehearsed kind of promo, and he's kind of shooting from the hip. Now, I don't believe that's what it was. He's a very polished performer, but those promos were very vulnerable. He was really opening his heart up, right, to this audience, to his dad's trying to tie his dad into things. And so when it comes down to it and he loses, now you can't go backwards. You can only go forward. And for the fans to be like, do I decide to stay with this guy or not? Now they're going to have to make that decision, because I think if he wins that title, and you know, I get the 1,000 days thing. It's been brought up. I know my buddy Paul Fontaine, who predicted the Roman win, he flat out said he believes it's because of the 1,000 days. He thinks that that's what they want more importantly than having a strong babyface. Like, they want that to sell the t-shirts for the marketing, like you said, for Roman to be known as the greatest champion of all time. And I completely understand that stuff. It's just, you build, I maybe would have done the build to Cody a little differently if I knew that he was losing. But at the end of the day, They wanted to build up to this giant two-night show. They did the greatest job, I think. This was a WWE marketing masterpiece. The best thing, I feel, that they've ever done when it comes to putting on shows, building shows, creating interest, getting the websites to tweet about them, getting the websites to cover them. You saw ESPN do a lot of coverage on them. That ESPN stuff is showing up in my phone like the entire day. So job well done. And I just hope that they have some good ideas from here on out to move this thing through what could often be the doldrums of the spring and summer for them. Last year wasn't really. Like, they did a pretty good job of getting through that last year. So my hope is that they have really good ideas coming out of this. But I do think that they lost some faith from a fan base that was probably gone and then came back when they heard about all the good stuff, and then came back to not only Sunday night, but also Monday. And then they went, wow, same old shit. Like, somebody reached out to me and their comment was like, they've been doing this for 20 years. Like, why is anybody surprised? And like, you could definitely look at it that way for sure.
Yeah. I know more people were disappointed in Cody losing than more people were happy that Roman won. And that says a lot about the entirety of the situation. I don't think in the short term it's going to hurt them in any way, but you know, they may have the plan, and that's what Triple H said. He has a plan, right? He said this is just a chapter. You know, it's just another chapter in this story, Roman, that they're doing.
Roman and Paul Heyman said, I don't know if you watched any of that presser. I watched some of it. It was pretty interesting to me. The way the people who friend of the show, John Alba, asked the question that everyone wanted to know, right? If you're watching the show, why does Cody lose here? But Roman and Paul Heyman said they were in the third inning, which is a baseball reference, meaning they're still very early in the storyline for the Bloodline. So that kind of perked my ears up a bit. And so, you know, I would imagine based off of Monday's TV The Usos, they're going to have a decision to make. Jay, especially if you saw the look on Jay's face last night when Paul Heyman sent him to the jet. There's something there. There's a Cody and KO piece to it. Now Brock Lesnar's involved in this storyline. So for me, I thought that they were telling one of the best stories that I'd ever seen them tell in my history of being a wrestling or WWE fan from spans from 85 on. And now they have an opportunity to expand it and make it better, or expand it and make it worse, which is my fear.
Yeah. What do you think they'll do?
I think they're going to try and reheat Cody up, and Cody's going to go through the whirlwind of every single thing that they do with baby faces to try and heat them up, whether it's winning the Money in the Bank. He's got to beat Brock if that's the plan. If it's not the plan, then I have no idea what's going on, but I think he needs to beat Brock. He needs to win the Money in the Bank. He needs to challenge at SummerSlam. SummerSlam is in Detroit, 30 years after the Lex Luger show that I mentioned, same city. And then he should win the title. But by then, because of this way that they're going to tell this story, at least I'm assuming, and it may be completely different. And if it's different, we're going to be talking about it, you know, on this show.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they're going to be able to heat him up to where he was as big as he was before WrestleMania. And the other thing, and I've constantly been saying this, WWE marketing tells us WrestleMania is really all that matters. So if a big moment is going to happen, it has to happen at WrestleMania for it to really mean something to the history and to the canon. Because when people bring up Survivor Series title wins or SummerSlam title wins, I'm talking about the last 15 years of WWE. Previous, when there were only five shows, like I know all the winners to those shows. But last 15 years, if it's SummerSlam, if it's Survivor Series, if it's a B show, I don't even really remember some of these title changes happening. So I just thought it should have happened at WrestleMania for it to be meaningful.
Yeah, I mean, they do have an out. It's not all doom and gloom. I don't think this is all doom and gloom. You could do, I mean, listen, he could beat Lesnar in a great way. And he points, you know, he does that whole look at the camera and he goes, "Now I'm coming after you, Roman." And he just beat Brock Lesnar in a decent way to make him look even stronger. And now you're getting to the guy again. You know, the guy that beat you with all this outside distraction and cheating and all this stuff. You know, they could do it. I don't know if the audience will be convinced, but I know that they're going to try. But now the other question is, you know, what's the story with The Rock? Because did you see his video?
Was it the video of him not being backstage to see his daughter wrestle professionally for the first time? How is he not there to see Simone?
I don't know. That is wild, right? But he put out the video like congratulating the Usos and Roman, and he's like, maybe I'll see you, you know, sooner than you think or whatever. So he's in the mix. He knows the deal.
After he shoots the live action Moana?
I think it was after the live action Moana commercial he did. I think it was after.
Because that's always the thing, right? Is it just depends on how busy he is. The thing that is a little, and I don't know how much this means, but this dude is not at the top of his game right now. He has gotten a little bit of bad press. He has had a couple of failures. Young Rock is not a good television show. And so he's got to rebuild the Hollywood piece. And this is why some people thought he would actually do WrestleMania, because it would give him weekly opportunity to just get cheered by so many fans, and then he could utilize that. Who's in my background now? Is that you again, Andrew?
Oh yeah, that's me again.
Our producer's just working overtime here.
He's working overtime today.
He's trying to pop us, and he's creating Easter eggs for the people watching. But yeah, like, so, you know, Rock, is he going to utilize?
By the way, that guy in that photo behind you has an 0-203 record in Tijuana.
Wow.
He's one of the catastrophically the biggest losers in all of wrestling. That guy behind you right there.
It's not a good record.
It's a terrible record. I don't know why he keeps doing it.
Wait, is he on WWE Main Event? Is that where he's taking all these L's?
No. It's just, you know, in front of like 30 Dark? People in at flea markets. He's just wrestling in flea markets right now. He hasn't made it on TV.
But yeah, so if Rock is a part of this, great. But there's I feel like he's probably too busy to deal with this stuff because he's got to rebuild some stuff in Hollywood. But who knows? Maybe it's part of the marketing plan to get Rock back in the good graces. Not that he's like in bad graces in any way. He just has not had the hits that he usually has. And I think the Black Adam thing probably created a little bit of a bad taste for folks. But yeah, you know, we'll see what he does. I don't want to rely on that as a part of like my thinking when it comes to the storyline overall. But if they could make it a part of it, great. I imagine Jey Uso and Roman is going to be a part of this and somehow again. So they have lots of things that they can do. It's just not to the benefit of someone who could have come out of this show as, you know, one of the giant baby faces of our wrestling lifetime right now.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm being a little reserved here. I'm going to give them the opportunity to let this play out a little bit, because if it plays out and you know, you have this great redemption arc and Cody wins and he finally does it and, you know, it's not a dusty finish and he wins in his nice, great way. Yeah, that's awesome. Maybe it'll work. But if you wanted a guarantee that it was going to work for that moment, it would have been on Sunday. That would have been the guarantee that this guy becomes solidified as a major, major, you know, world champion in their eyes. But, you know, maybe they know better than I do. I'm not a booker. I'm not a professional wrestler, even though I pretend to be one on the internet apparently sometimes.
Well, yeah. There's lots of stories, rumors, etc., coming out of this WrestleMania. There's a story about Jay White that was out there today about maybe he and WWE not necessarily being in the mix anymore. There's a story about Charlotte stepping down and stepping away, and that could be something that Dave Meltzer mentioned over the weekend of her, you know, thinking about getting into bodybuilding or wanting to do a contest, because she was leaner than lean.
Ripped. Yeah.
Oh my God. She looked incredible for, you know, the look that she was trying to have, that bodybuilder look. It was amazing. And, you know, there's lots of other things that are probably going to happen. You know, we always have this post WrestleMania thing where, you know, layoffs happen. Not that I want that to happen. So I kind of hope
the draft
doesn't.
The draft is soon.
Are they going to do it?
I don't have the date, but it's happening. I know it's happening, but I don't have the date for it, but it's happening like sooner than later. I don't know when they'll announce it, but it's supposed to happen after Mania. And I know that there's been some conversation, you know, as to when this is happening and how they're getting ready for it. Bailey's another one. There was the Bailey situation last night, right?
There was the Bailey situation, which, you know, that story is kind of taking a life of its own out there on the internet. Well, who knows what's really going on? But like stuff like that is, and this is the stuff that we really haven't dealt with as fandom, as fan base, you know. Oh, what's happening in WWE? Because they were pretty stable leading up, and all of a sudden they're not as stable. You hear these whispers of stuff going on. So yeah, it's just going to be, you know, in a selfish way, great for us, right? Because we just have constant things to talk about. It's the business that never doesn't have news, and we're just going to continually talk about it. So yeah, it's great, great for us, but, you know, probably not the greatest for talent at this point.
I mean, I guess the pendulum may swing in AEW's favor now with optics, right? This was the moment they needed.
You think?
I mean, listen, you know, a lot of this stuff is buzzing and internet chatter. And right now, Vince coming back is not helping WWE. Cody not winning is not helping. And a lot of the people that are going to complain about Vince being back within the company, that's not good optics either. And who gains from that? AEW does.
AEW, nice little pivot there. They have an announcement. Tony Khan has an announcement coming up.
Yeah, they're down the block from me tomorrow. Actually, they're like 5 minutes away from me at UBS Arena. And Tony has a big announcement.
Wait, are you going to the show?
I'm not. I have a funeral. That's why I wasn't here. Yes. Last week I had to cancel. Somebody passed away, a very close family friend. So we had to, they're having a funeral tomorrow. So I'm not going.
So I don't know. What do you think about this announcement? Because there are things that are out there. Some of what you have talked about, which is this possible Saturday show. There is the idea of a London show. For them to actually do a big show in London, there's
a London
other
show
things
is happening, 100%.
But they just haven't. They could name. You know, they could give us a date. Maybe that's the announcement. Yeah. Just giving us a date. There's video game stuff. Like, if you're a betting man, what would you put your finger on as far as what the announcement's going to be?
If I'm a betting man, I would have said most likely the thing that's the soonest, and that would probably be, well, actually, the video game is probably sooner. The video game is coming out second quarter, as far as I know. Okay. That was the date I was told from the beginning. It's second quarter of this year. So it could be any month.
We are in the second quarter.
You have that AEW Collision on Saturday show that they're going to announce soon. I know that Dave had said that the date was in July. I saw a earlier date.
Okay.
So it could be, it's a one source thing, you know? I saw mid-June possibly. So that's a possibility. But the Saturday show is definitely happening. Or the other thing is the London show, which is a little surprising considering the date.
Okay, so the date that you've heard,
the date that I've heard, it surprised me. I mean, it's not going to affect anything, but it was interesting to see to do a large event like that. Like going to the UK is a big deal. Going to London is a big deal. Going to London, you know, running their options for stadiums. It's not much, right? What do they have to pick from?
In London?
Yeah. What is it? The OVO Arena, right? OVO Arena, which is in Wembley. That's one. O2 is another one, which I don't think they're going to run the O2. You know, it's a 12,000 person. It's a second. I think OVO is the second largest build arena in London. It's a second largest indoor arena. I mean, that's a possibility. Maybe O2 is a possibility. I don't know. But the date that I saw was surprising to me.
Interesting.
It's just a lot of moving parts for it to be when it is.
Okay. Can this be any way CM Punk related?
No, I will say it's not. That's my, it could be. I wasn't told that it's not, but I'm assuming it's, listen, would it be, if it is, it's great. I think that's great news for them. I know some people are not going to like that, but I think it's great news.
Even after his hissy fit on Instagram.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, I've said that we've spoken about this so much. If they could make it work, why would they not? Forget about what the internet says. Forget about what they've done. If all the parties come and they're like, listen, our goal is to make this company the best that it is. We'll put aside all our nonsense, which they should. These are grown millionaires, all of them. You know, like you want to talk about like the fight and all that stuff. These are all very wealthy people that are professionals that have done this for many, many years. They understand the importance of having this promotion survive in the history of professional wrestling for the business. It's very important. So when you have something like this happen, it's very unfortunate, you know, but he is that one guy that will draw them a million people a week. And we're seeing it happen.
Until when, though? Because that's my question. Until when? Because as we've seen,
I mean, he was drawn till the end. He never did not draw, right?
But at what point is he going to take a giant dump on the company again to where they put themselves in a position of, you know, other talent getting suspended because of scenarios, having to explain themselves out of things, having possible scrums go out of control again. Like, that's the thing. I get if it, you know, if you get CM Punk on his best behavior and his best business savvy mind of wanting to do business, and that's it, it's an absolute slam dunk. But there's this giant variable about what he really thinks about his company or this company and the people who he could possibly do business with and that locker room and his boss that, you know, does he... I just don't know if you're getting that version of CM Punk before things go awry again.
Well, listen, that's my, if
that would be Punk, my fear.
If you're CM Punk, and I, you know, I would be thinking, and I'm saying my opinion, I have no idea what he's thinking, but I would be thinking, man, the way I left WWE really sucked. It wasn't on my terms. This is now I envision my career to end. The way that I left AEW is not how I envisioned. He has the wrestling itch. Where is he going to go? He's not going to Impact. They can't afford him. He's not going to work for free. He's not, I mean, how much can he do in New Japan? He can maybe have a couple matches there, but it's not a consistently booked thing. He can maybe have a couple matches and end his career like that. But if he wants to be competitive in the last couple years of his career, he has no other options. There aren't, and not because nobody wants him, just because there's no place to go. So it's either Vince or Tony, who's going to be more understanding and who's going to maybe give him what he wants. If he wants to work only a couple dates a year, maybe that could they could work that out. I'm always the believer of if you can make it work and it makes sense for business, you have to do it. Put all your feelings aside and just get the job done. I work with people I can't stand daily. Suncast dislikes me tremendously, and he's producing this show.
He does. He very much does. I agree with
very
that.
Much.
Yeah. Okay. Is it an itch to wrestle, or is it an itch to be in control and manipulate and call the shots? That is what I'm not sure. I'm not convinced, and you know, I don't know him. So if I did, maybe I'd have a better thought process. But does he want to wrestle? Does he want to be a big wrestling star, or does he want to come back to a scenario where he wins and he only wins and no one else really matters except for him? That's kind of what I'm not sure about.
I don't know. But, you know, he didn't wrestle for many years, and then he finally came back, and it's hard, and that's a hard thing to let go, especially when you don't leave under your terms. You leave under this insane, you know, he got hurt twice and he got into a fight backstage. You know,
he doesn't like Rocky III, or he's never seen Rocky III.
He's never seen Rocky III.
I was really disappointed with that one.
Can you imagine that was the catalyst for all of this? Only if this guy over the last 40 years saw Rocky III, none of this would have happened. He would have been like, oh yeah, Mox, that totally makes sense. That's what we're doing. And none of these fights would have happened.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about what is on Dynamite tomorrow before we get out of here. So we have Kenny Omega coming off of back-to-back shows where he had really strong matches and completely different matches at the same time, right? Vikingo and Jeff Cobb were completely different matches.
Very different.
The one thing about this show is it's technically headlined, at least I believe it's headlined, by the Guns as the tag team champions against FTR, with FTR AEW career on the line. And yet, on last week's Dynamite, we didn't even hear from FTR. I thought the build for what should be a pretty big match on Dynamite, the build was pretty lacking to me. So I don't know how big this match could be, but what do you think? What do you think happens here with FTR and the Guns?
I would put the title on FTR for sure. I think it was cool for the Guns to have it, but you know, you're ramping up your TV. You're ramping up your viewership is not where it should be. That show should not be sitting at 800,000. You should be in the 900s to a million mark. You know, The guns are cool. I like, it's a cool act. I like it. Are they world champions? I'm tuning in to watch every one of their matches every week on Dynamite. No, it's not. It's not there yet. So if I would put the titles back on FTR unless they're leaving, and then you don't.
Right. I would too.
You know,
I mean, they're definitely, if they're not the best tag team, they're one of the top two or three. And you like to see the best team be up there. And I want to see them wrestle. I love watching them wrestle. But we'll see. I think I would guess that they're staying too, but I'm not sure myself. All right. The next, some of the other things that are on this show, House of Black defending their trios championships against Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. Jamie Hayter against Riho, which should be a pretty fun match. Riho, great baby face. But Jamie Hayter's a baby face at this point, too, kind of. And then MJF Day celebration. Did you see the little video of MJF getting celebrated?
Yeah, he the one in Long Island?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Oyster Bay, Long Island. I had a business right over there many, many years ago.
Blackpool Combat Club promo. Are we going to hear from Brian Danielson about why he turned on poor Kenny Omega?
That's an interesting, you know, I want to see that match. That's something I definitely want to see again. They had a banger. I saw that live at Grand Slam. And I have to tell you, dude, one of the few times, right? I mean, obviously, All Out was my favorite show I've ever been to. Grand Slam was cool, fun, great, loved it. But All Out, the one that we were all at,
yeah,
2 years ago, was the best wrestling show I've ever been to, best pay-per-view I've ever been to. Everything was great. But that match, I sat there, dude, every one of us, we were quiet, and we were just so into this match. So I want to see them wrestle again. Again, I say it all the time. Danielson is my favorite wrestler.
I think it's my favorite Dynamite match that they've ever done.
That match? Yeah. Yeah. By far. Very cool match. So, I mean, listen, nobody won. It was a draw. So you have a chance here to talk about who's the better winner. I can see Danielson winning. And that kind of ties into the story that this guy can't win title matches, but he'll win everything else. This has been his story since WWE, since he left. Yeah. He can't cut it in the big matches. Great story. Great long-term storytelling. I'm into it.
All right. We also have the Acclaimed deciding whether or not they're going to join the Jericho Appreciation Society. I didn't like the pitch. You know, someone needs to work with 2.0, and they need to set them down and go, here's how you pitch other people, because your business plan and your marketing plan and the pitch and the reason for these guys to come to your Jericho Appreciation Society is really bad. So I don't sense that they're going to join. We have Sammy Guevara versus Commander in what is going to be an absolutely insane match. And then we have the last couple ones, Juice Robinson against Ricky Starks, and then Hook against Ethan Page. And of course, we mentioned Tony Khan's announcement. All right, we got like 2 minutes left. Did you watch the AEW All Access show?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not watched it yet. I've seen clips. I have not watched in its entirety.
It is completely fine. There are even some nice little segments where I think Britt Baker is going to come out of this a much bigger star. She's fantastic in it. But my main critique is, you call it All Access, right? What is the most all-access-y thing that has ever happened in the history of AEW?
I don't know. Muffingate, you know? That could be one.
For them to not even mention that situation, not even in passing, is ridiculous.
Look, they got to commit to the work. They got to commit to the angle, right? They got to commit. It's all the whole thing
will
work for Punk's injury. This whole thing, and then Tony's going to come out and say, "We got you." You know, you know what? It says something, right? Why aren't they talking about it? It says something, regardless of what it is. I don't know, but They're not even talking about it. It doesn't exist. You know, it never happened.
You rarely feel this way while watching AEW. And this is a credit to Tony Khan and his vision. But you rarely feel like, as a wrestling fan who watches a lot of wrestling, as someone who has followed the history of wrestling, is smart about the business, you don't often feel insulted with AEW product. Yeah. And I really appreciate that. And I really
would you feel insulted if this is this whole thing is a one of the most elaborate, you know, works in the business?
I mean, I don't know. I guess, but would my point off? Is nah, it's wrestling. The thing that we would always say is, it's wrestling. But
yeah,
presenting All Access and not talking about the CM Punk thing, I thought was a little bit of an insult to my intelligence as a wrestling fan. And I don't think a lot of people felt that way, but this was the only, if you're going to have this show, this is how you start it. This is your storyline for the entire show. And, you know, maybe they didn't really have the cameras there around this time to start it, but that footage is everywhere, right? Like, everybody has that footage. It's out there. So you could have done something with it, and they decided not to, which I was pretty frustrated with. They didn't need to tell me the whole story. I know the story. They just didn't need to hide from it, is my point.
Yeah, I agree with you. I got it.
All right, well, we will be back next week, and we're not going to have shows where we don't have anything to talk about. I can tell you that. I did want to say,
we have a very busy while.
I did want to say that you are scheduled. We're trying to make this work. I'm starting a new podcast in my in the Fight Game Media Network free feed, where we have one podcast for every day of the week. And I'm launching what I'm calling a Fight Game Podcast Extra. So it's an extension of the show that I do on this network, on my own network, just so I can use the same branding. And my hope is that I get Andrew Zarian as my very first guest on Thursday. So that is the hope. I'm crossing my fingers that we can work this
that
out.
That is the hope.
Because
I think we can. I will be in an undisclosed location, though.
Okay. Because I would want nobody other than Andrew to be my very first guest on the new show.
You know what? I genuinely appreciate that. I'll be there. I'll be there for that.
All right.
You tell me what time and I'll figure it out.
Okay. All right. So thanks to Andrew. I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.